This is Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. 17-year-old Chauncey Dyson of Denver has always known how to work hard, going back to the days when he'd sell snacks at school right out of his backpack.
I had Snickers, Starburst, Skittles, Butterfingers, then I had Doritos, Fritos, Lay's Barbecue.
Now that he's a senior in high school, questions loom about his future, and his family's poverty weighs heavily on him.
When you're growing up in poverty, if you're 15 or 16, then that means you're grown. I know students got pretty much a better life than I do if all they do is have to just go home and do homework. Working a job is a necessity.
Dyson was one of three teens we profiled recently who are growing up in poverty and trying to get out of it. They're all part of a mentoring program called Project Voice, and they told us it has helped them understand what they have to offer the world. Let's meet Dana Scott, who runs the organization, and Sir Martin, a youth leader who started as a mentee.
So we have all different kinds of students. We have students who are homeless, students who have moved around and gone to several different schools. We have a lot of students who have been part of gangs, students who are doing well academically, but maybe don't have the communication skills or aren't. There's behavioral issues happening, so they get kicked out. A lot of our students have actually not been very successful in what we would call traditional school settings.
When you talk about communication problems, mm-hmm. what do you mean?
I think that often their experience in schools is people don't really care or try to build relationships with them. And so they don't try to figure out what's going on. They're just interested in, did you do your homework? How did you do on the test?
As opposed to, why didn't you do your homework?
Exactly.
And the answer might be?
That I was out looking for food, or that I was helping my mom get into a treatment center, or that I didn't have a place to sleep, and so I crashed at a friend's.
Wow. That I was out looking for food?
Sure. We have students who live hand to mouth. Absolutely.
And then students who, in some ways, are their own parents.
Or who are parents to their parents. Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Students whose parents are in crisis, who are struggling, and they're the oldest, and so they're taking care of the family. They're earning money, they're paying rent, they're taking care of everyone.
One of the things that Project Voice does is pair these young people with those who've been down the same road, right?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that is in part what you do, sir, at Project Voice.
Yes.
What's your background? How did you become a youth leader?
My background is very Denver-based. I was born and raised in Denver, Colorado. The neighborhood I grew up in is informally known as the East Side, or also known as City Park Neighborhood, Clayton, Five Points, Whittier. I went to Manual High School. I joined a gang at the end of 2009. I was exposed to gangs. Growing up, my brother and my older cousins were from a gang. So when I got to high school and everybody around me were gang members, I felt like I fit right in.
What was it about gangs that made you feel like you fit in?
I grew up around them. Mostly it was the Crip, so I've seen a lot of blue. I have been saying the gang terminology. I had been wearing blue, never wore the color red. It was something like being accepted. I remember every day I used to go home on the light rail, and I used to pass by over on 27th and Welton, and you see just a gang of people there. Some of them were just hanging out. They'd be gambling, maybe smoking weed, but they looked like they were having a good time. And I remember telling myself, like, dang, one day I want to go over there and hang out with them. So after I had joined the gang, it felt like these big doors had opened that I was like, oh, okay, now I'm finally accepted, and I can go around and say what's up to anybody and feel like I'm carefree and walk around this neighborhood without any worries or woes.
Did you do drugs?
Yes.
And did you get into violence of any kind or crime?
Yes, both.
Both. How so?
Well, I started selling dope when I was when I joined Project Voice. I sold crack cocaine for about a month before I went to jail.
And yet you still had a future in Project Voice.
Yes.
Yeah, which we're going to talk about in a bit. But let's understand Project Voice better. One of the first things you do is a retreat. Is that right?
Correct.
And what is that about?
At Project Voice, when you join, you go on a four-day retreat to the mountains. 4 days, 3 nights, no cell phones, no running water, no deodorant. And you go up there with about 40 different people, about 30 different youth and 10 different staff. And as far as this mentor-mentee relationship goes, I remember I had a friend named Philip Douglas. we played chess. He brought a chessboard up there, and I thought I could play chess, so he brought a chessboard. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, you got the chessboard. I'm about to beat you. So he's like, all right, come on. So the average chess game lasts about 25 moves, roughly 15 minutes. I lasted about 10, maybe 7. I lost checkmate. And I remember asking Phil, like, man, what are you doing, man? How'd you do that? And he told me something that changed my life. He said, I make all my moves count. I don't make frivolous moves. I make my next move my best move. And that's one thing my mentor, he became my mentor after that, told me that affected me in later life.
I'm trying to imagine the moment that a gang member who's been to jail several times is told, I'd like you to join a program in which you're going to do a retreat in the mountains. What convinced you to do this?
You're right. If somebody came up to me and said, hey, come join us and we're going to teach you leadership skills and we're going to take you to the mountains, and me being in the position I was in, I probably wouldn't have signed up. I'd been like, what? But that's not how I was approached. Here, let me tell you how it went down. So I went to Emmanuel High School. I was sitting on the steps with some friends. I remember Philip leaving the school. He was a big guy, so he had some big broad shoulders, and he had a stack of papers in his right hand.
This is your mentor.
This is my mentor. He had a bald head, but in the back of his head, he had a square in the back of his head. So only thing I seen was bald head, square in the back of his head. So I started cracking up, and I said, look, guys, he got the soul patch. So we're laughing, and he's walking, and he stops, and he turns around, and he gives you what we call one of those big old field smiles, like a big old smile that makes you smile and feel warm inside. He walked up to all three of my friends, including me, and said, how you guys doing? My name is Philip Douglas, and I work with Project Voice. We're hiring this summer. Here, take this job application. We're right down the street. Come apply. He didn't tell me anything about a four-day retreat, about leadership skills or nothing. It was just his presence and how he approached me that made me feel like, you know what? I think I might want to apply.
And that makes it sound, Dana, almost like a job, that it was employment.
Exactly. Yes. So one of the things that makes Project Voice unique is that we don't just offer a training program and have people come and say, yes, I will give up my entire summer to get trained. We actually offer them a job. So it's an employment opportunity.
Trained in what, though?
They are trained to be leaders and advocates in their schools and communities. So the 8 weeks that they spend with us as part of Summer Leadership Institute, some of that, as Sir mentioned, is a retreat up in the mountains. And that's to really build our team and to get people out of their comfort zone and to really get them thinking, yes, I can do this. And then they come back to us and spend time building skills around nonviolent communication, decision making, goal setting, public speaking, how to just have more confidence and find your purpose.
And every participant in Project Voice goes through this?
Correct.
So this is not just a little help on the side with school.
Right.
It's a real commitment.
We consider it an official job. Like Sir said, it's all peer-led. So it's all college students or other high school students who do the hiring, who do the training, who do the curriculum. They're the ones in charge.
You mentioned nonviolent communication.
Yes.
That's a big departure for these kids?
Absolutely. So a lot of these kids are not used to getting their needs met in a way that feels respectful to teachers. So an example, student wants something from a teacher, doesn't get the grade that he or she feels like they deserve, and demands to the teacher they need a better grade. They don't ask questions. They don't necessarily negotiate. They just don't have the skills to talk in a way so that adults will take them seriously and listen.
But if this is a kid who in their home life has to demand food,
mm-hmm.
or has to demand that their absent parent
sure.
show up,
mm-hmm.
that's yielded results in other contexts.
Absolutely.
So how they wouldn't know not to do
survival skills that these students are using on the streets are great for surviving on the streets. However, surviving in other arenas, they need to learn different skills that will work for them in that way.
What's another example of a lesson they learn or a skill they acquire?
I think public speaking, feeling confident in their ability to speak up.
So, sir, you seem to have no problem with that. Has that changed for you? Has that evolved?
Over my years, I've become a pretty good public speaker, but I definitely started way apart from that.
Really?
Really.
You were a...
I know. It's hard to believe.
You were afraid to speak up, or you were afraid that your opinion didn't matter, or what?
Well, one thing, I really didn't know what to say. always felt like people were like judging me. So it was kind of hard to like put your opinion out there. Two, I didn't know how to use my word. You know, if I really wanted to speak to somebody, sometimes it come off kind of mumbly or timid. Another thing I've learned with public speaking is not always what you say, but how do you look saying it? Because you could be saying something great, but if you're got a frown on your face and you're all got your arms crossed, it might not look that well and people will perceive you the same way.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. And as part of our coverage of child poverty in Colorado, we're looking at one program that has had some success at bringing kids out of poverty, and that is Project Voice, based in Denver. So at the core, really, of this program is a good role model. Does that mean that you didn't have great role models growing up, sir?
For me, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I had a great role model. I had my dad. He was a great role model. I had cousins. They, although they were in a gang, they led. They had very good values. What I would say is goals. My role models didn't have very good goals because they didn't really have too much accomplished. You know, my dad didn't have a lot of money. My mom wasn't around. All my other family members, they didn't really seem to have what we consider in this day and age success. You know, my dad used to tell me back in the day, he says, son, as long as you bring home a D, that's not failing. That's good to me. So my standards weren't very high. I used to bring C's and D's and think it was all right because my dad didn't push me too far and I was passing, made it to the next level.
And that is an example, I suppose, of what role models do.
Absolutely.
Someone who goes, a D? Are you kidding me?
Well, and even beyond the grade is also what you can hope for in your life. So providing a sense of what's out there to even achieve, because I think for a lot of students, they're in survival mode, right? So it's all about getting food on the table. It's all about taking care of their siblings. It's all about having somewhere to sleep at night. It's not about what do I want to do with my life? Do I want to be an astronaut? Do I want to be a writer? They're not exposed to a lot of choices.
And that makes sense when you're in survival mode.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yet, of course, there are times a student's going to come home with a D. And I wonder, sir, if there were instances where, you know, you made a mistake or you messed up and found acceptance.
Well, it's very interesting that you should say that. During my first year, after I got my first check, I made some very complicated decisions that ended me in jail. And being in jail for about 2 weeks, I thought about that chess game with Phil, and he told me, you got to make your next move your best move. We don't make frivolous moves. So when I got out, that was really on my head, and I was telling myself I made a bad move. So I went back to the job, not feeling very good. I got to tell the boss what had happened. So I went inside. Everybody's looking at me. I go speak to the boss, and I tell him what had happened with me. And he looks at me with this disgruntled face, and he says, what can we do to support you? What can we do to make sure that this doesn't happen again? And that right there, those words right there changed my life. I really felt supported. I felt like even though I had failed or messed up, that I wasn't shunned away and I was still accepted. So relating that to a D, if a student does fail, it's okay that they fail and that we need to offer the support for them so that they don't fail again.
And so that they don't feel thrown away, which I imagine some of them have felt before.
Absolutely.
Well, before we go, I would like an update on some Project Voice members that we reported on some time ago. Chauncey Dyson, who we just heard from in the introduction, Destiny Carney, and Luis Robles. Chauncey is a senior now at South High School. He was paying rent to his grandmother and spending many hours on the bus getting to school.
Yes.
And to his job at a pizza parlor. He wasn't sure he could make time or money to apply to college.
Yes.
What's happening?
He actually has found a new place to live that is literally a block away from South High School. So some very incredible volunteers, well-meaning folks said, come live in our basement for free. We'll help you. So he has taken advantage of that and is doing incredibly well. He is applying to colleges. He's applying for financial aid. He is excited about the prospect. He's, I think, received at least 3 acceptances so far.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
At the risk of making this even vaguely about us, this was a CPR listener who reached out with the apartment, the basement place.
Yes.
Destiny Carney spent most of her life homeless. Here's Destiny.
I feel like when you are homeless and like the environment and the people you could be around sometimes kind of make you feel like you're like you can't do it. Other people want to bring you down and there's like drama. Like I feel like once you get in poverty, it's kind of hard to get out.
How's Destiny?
She is actually still struggling. She is not living with her mom anymore, so she is actually looking for a place to live. But she is one of the people who feels the support of Project Voice, and we consider it a family, so we take care of each other and is doing a great job. She is working at Bruce Randolph School and gearing up for the Summer Leadership Institute.
She will be doing this retreat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Luis Robles' father came to the U.S. legally to escape violence from drug lords in Mexico. But Luis didn't find out until he was in high school that he was here illegally.
Right.
He talked about his dad with us.
He had a truck. He would go through the dumpsters, go through the trash trying to find scrap metal so that he could sell. And I remember he would sell it and then go buy whatever we needed.
Luis still has dreams of going to college. How is he doing now?
He is currently at community college, Arapahoe Community College, but he is saving money. And actually, people have come forward to help donate money toward his college fund. And he is going to be transferring to CU Boulder.
Oh, wow. And studying, you know?
I think he wants to study health and fitness, but that may have changed.
That may change. Yes, these things do.
These things change.
Well, you can hear the stories of Luis, Destiny, and Chauncey at cprnews.org/poverty. Thanks to both of you for being with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.